We're turning to Iran next, where the chief of police said this morning that significant arrests have been made amid an ongoing government crackdown on demonstrations, which are reported to have led to nearly 200 protesters being killed. Iran has been roiled for more than 2 weeks by protests, which emerged in the capital's bazaars as a reaction to rampant inflation and a slump in the currency, but broadened to Mashhad in the east, to Shiraz in the south, and to Tabriz in the north. We're joined now by Ruja Fazali, who is Iranian and also Professor of Law and Islamic Studies at the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Just wondering, what have you been able to learn or hear from Iran? Because as we know, there's an ongoing internet blackout which has been running now for more than 60 hours.
In these 60 hours, very few snippets of news has been coming through. Just talking to friends, we haven't been able to speak to people on the ground really, or to family members in the past while. But it's still some news is very, very worrying news is trickling in as you said yourself, hundreds of people since the 8th, since the blackout, have been killed. There's been eyewitness accounts from an Iranian medic in Porsena Hospital in Rasht, which is a city in northern Gilan province, that accounts for at least 70 bodies, which were brought overnight to the hospital, and very similar news coming from Tehran hospitals as well, that they're overwhelmed. Last night, for example, I was speaking to a group of academics outside of Iran, but one of them said that he heard, for example, that even vets were brought in to help with the medical situation, because the number of injured coming in, one of the hospitals specializing in treatment of for vision, they were saying that they've been seeing a lot of people who are shot in the eye coming in. So it's quite dire, the news that is trickling in.
Yeah. There have been protests in Iran before against the government before, like Mahsa Amini, who died in police custody in 22, and the Green Revolution, more than 15 years ago. And they've been quelled usually by hardline rhetoric, arrests and detentions, and executions under the pretext that protesters were waging war against God. To ask you an impossible question to a certain extent, yes, but do you believe that this protest that's taking place now is any different from what's happened before?
In terms of the repression, not hugely different. If anything, it seems to be worse. The blackout, the number of days that it's lasting, the extent as well, because also internally people are not able to get in touch with each other. We also have heard that at least 2,500 people have been arrested. And news has been coming in from the state agencies, and they're talking about protesters as agitators, as terrorists. They have been basically called or described by Iran's prosecutor general as muharib, as those who are at war with God. And actually, this is a charge that carries the death penalty. So it is very important to for the international community to be aware of these arrests and what might come. So not only we saw this in previous protests, so not only the Woman Life Freedom protest in 2022, but also previously in 2019, there was internet blackout for a few days, and up to 1,500 protesters were killed.
Yeah, but could I just interrupt you 1 second? The exiled son of the former Shah, Reza Pahlavi, has been urging protesters to continue with their campaign. From your point of view, is he a real rallying point for protesters, or just someone who's long left Iran and is a fringe figure?
So Leaving my own kind of views on Reza Pahlavi to one side at the moment, I think it is important to see what the protesters in Iran, what their ask is, and when you hear the slogans, for example, there is one plurality of team, which is majority demanding the downfall of the Islamic Republic. But also you do hear these pro-monarchy slogans, particularly these are bold in Persian-speaking, Lore and Caspian areas, and they are asking for Pahlavi to come back. So this, I think there is a few kind of ways of looking at this. One is it's nostalgia for the Pahlavi era, particularly for the social freedoms, which were severely curtailed under the Islamic regime. But also Pahlavi represents an immediate alternative, which is preferable to the status quo.
One question there. It just related to what you said there, that the international community needed to be watching what was happening to protesters who were being arrested and the pretext under which they were being arrested and detained, because it could mean that they face capital punishment. From your point of view, is there anything, say, something that the Irish government could do, given that to a certain extent Iran is a closed country and the influence is minimal?
Yes, I do think that Irish government and the international community, they do have a duty to condemn the arrests and the killing and the unlawful use of force. There's a prevailing climate of systemic impunity that has enabled the Iranian authorities to repeatedly commit crimes under international law. So these have been documented by Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the UN fact-finding missions. These include murder, torture, rape, enforced disappearances, and this is all to eliminate to punish dissent. So in a very recent couple of days ago, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, they had a report, and they call for other countries' prosecutors and their authorities to initiate criminal investigation under the principle of universal jurisdiction, with a view of issuing arrest warrants for those suspected of responsibility.
Okay, Ruja Fazali, thank you so much for talking to us. Professor of Law and Islamic Studies at the Irish Centre for Human Rights in the University of Galway.